It's Thursday, August 6th, 2015. You're listening to Last Time on Video Games, a podcast about retro video games and sometimes some other things. This is episode 114, Escargot Around Every Corner. Runtime for this episode is about 53 minutes.
Hello, and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, a podcast pouring out one for Iwata like 3 weeks late. My name is Jeremy.
I have no idea what that's a reference to. I'm Tyler.
Do you really not know what that's a reference to?
Nintendo's president died.
Oh.
Satoru Iwata.
Oh, pouring out. Oh. I'm a pickle. I'm Tyler.
You gotta leave all that in. My name is Zach.
I don't even have to leave it. You saying you have to leave all that in.
You should, though.
All right, Tyler, what have you been playing this week?
So, we've been listening to a lot of audiobooks recently, which involves me not being able to do a whole lot that requires sound. I've been vaguely wanting to pick Dragon Age back up, but I haven't had the time or inclination. So, instead, I'm like, hey, you know that game I used to play 500 hours of?
MapleStory?
No.
Minecraft?
No.
Grandia?
No.
Grandia?
Man, why does that keep coming
Grande
up? I mentioned
meal?
It like twice.
I'm just naming stuff.
No, Payday.
Ah.
More Payday.
I did see her playing that a while ago.
I also picked up Terraria because they came out with the free content updates again. So I'm like, oh yeah, this game is actually pretty fun. So I've been playing a lot of that. I haven't been playing much Smash. They redid the ranking system in Smash, and I got up to like Silver 1 and just kind of stopped playing for a while. So I've been doing the Zero Challenge, which I think I mentioned a while ago, which is win with every character in succession in 4 Glory without losing. And you have to start over again if you ever lose. And I've made it, at this point, all the way up to the third round. I just finished Little Mac, so.
No one beat Zero at Evo.
Wow.
Despite there being a $2,000 bounty on him.
That's...
Somebody put a bounty on another player?
Yeah, someone put a $200 bounty on him, and a bunch of sponsors matched it. And so it got up to it. He hasn't lost a tournament, and I think since Smash 4 came out.
So Zero lives in Brazil.
TSM just picked him up today, actually.
But as part of his training regimen for Smash 4, he would actually pay to fly people out to his town so that he could play Smash against them.
So he is the most successful TSM brand right now?
Yeah, Leffen lost. Leffen is their Melee player. TSM and Cloud9 both went out at fifth at Smash.
That's really weird that these teams that like are mostly... I mostly know them for League.
Yeah, well, because so, League is... I don't want to say a sinking ship, but... They want to expand their brand. You can't own two League teams. So they pick up Counter-Strike teams and a Smash player. And
so you now have like a variety of people playing for multiple things.
Yeah.
Well, it's diversifying your assets. It's the same as any kind of investment.
Yeah, but you don't have like the Broncos also playing baseball would be the equivalent, which is...
Yeah, but...
not really.
Yeah.
It's kind of like how... Say Budweiser sponsors a NASCAR team and owns a baseball stadium.
Yeah, that's probably a closer comparison.
Yeah, but they actually have multiple teams that are all the same name.
Yeah, that's true.
It would be like one company owning the Denver Broncos, and the Broncos are both a baseball team and a football team.
To be fair, the Colorado Avalanche and Denver Nuggets are owned by the same guy.
Yeah, it would be like calling them both the same thing, which would be confusing. Which is why it's always weird to see names that I associate with League by other games. Players for other games.
Just because how esports organizations are set up.
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
And there's less money than in real sports.
You're not paying people multi-million-dollar contracts unless you're in China, because China lol.
So
China lol.
China lol. I watched Evo, obviously.
I meant to. I was kind of surprised that they picked up Smash 4 for Evo, but...
Smash 4 and Melee were both at it. Like, the big problem, I would say, with Evo this year was at Marvel vs. Capcom and Street Fighter, Smash 4 and Melee, and then, Guilty Gear and Persona 4, which are all four of those games are
Persona 4?
Yeah, it's Arena, I should say specifically. The fighting game spinoff done by the people who make Guilty Gear and Blaze Blue. Because there are so many Persona 4s. I think there are more Persona 4 games than other Persona games.
That's...
It's actually really fun to watch.
I think there are more Persona 4 games than all their Shinden games combined.
I can never remember the name of that studio. It's Ace something, but I really like their fighting games. They're fun to watch.
Yeah, that's Guilty Gear I really want to play just because it looks cool.
Same with Blaze Blue.
And I just never do, so.
Yeah. So exciting movies. At the Guilty Gear tournament, the quarterfinals, which ended up being the winners' finals in the end. This actually showed up on ESPN Sports Center. It was so amusing.
Really?
Yeah, one of the players lost the first round in the game, won the second round, got so pumped he jumped up, ran around the stage, was like, yeah, yeah, I did it. And the other guy just perfected him because there was still one more match to go because every fighting game is best of three.
So while he was running he's like, around yeah, the stage. Yeah.
And the commentator was like, well, she can't, no! No! It's amazing.
Oh, my God.
Man,
that's a fail.
Yes. And like I said, he ended up making it back to winners' finals, but lost again.
Did he play all three games?
Yes. He did not prematurely celebrate. The crowd got super on his side after that.
Yeah, so at that point, I kind of just blame him for making this stupid decision of, like, you know, not waiting for the announcement.
Yeah.
But
and then
that's pretty good.
Street Fighter IV Grand Finals ended up being a little too tense. The guy from the loser's bracket, the first best of five went to five. He managed to reset the bracket. The second best of five went to five. He lost the first fight in the round. Then the other player's controller malfunctioned, which is a forfeit.
Why is that a forfeit?
But because anything that pauses the game becomes a forfeit because they don't want people abusing pauses. So he only forfeits the round. So
okay.
So like, and in like probably the largest gathering of fighting sticks of all time, he is running desperately trying to get a backup fighting arcade stick and can't seem to. It feels like forever. It's probably like a minute, but it seems to take him forever. And then unfortunately, he won, and the loser bracket guy who I was rooting for lost. So it didn't end up losing because of a tech malfunction, but.
I mean, that's pretty good to come back from a round that you didn't lose, so. Yeah.
So anyway, that was Evo. What else were you playing that wasn't fighting games?
I mean, was I playing any fighting games?
You weren't playing Smash.
Oh yeah, I was not playing Smash.
And
that's
then we talked about Zero.
True.
How he's still the best Smash 4 player.
I've been playing some Star Fox 64 3DS.
That's a fun game.
I don't know, I feel like I have been playing something, but I can't remember what it is, so I don't think I actually have. I mean, I Fallen London, sweet times, I've been killing everyone in the Black Ribbon Society, so.
I thought I took a break from that. I think I'll start playing again when I'm working again, but, and it's taken me so long to get my ship. I got married, but that wasn't very much.
I'm considering picking up Loathing again, but.
Yeah, Loathing is fun, I keep considering it too, but. All the stuff I've been behind on. Scary.
Yeah, there is that.
You never got into it enough to really be behind, I don't think, though.
I played it through once with every class, and that kind of burnt me out on it for a while.
So, yeah.
Nah, I don't think I've actually been playing anything else. I've been playing a lot more Payday than is probably good for me. I've been playing They Bleed Pixels a little bit, which is actually a lot of fun, but.
I know I watched a Let's Play of that, but I cannot remember anything about it.
It's like a vaguely Lovecraft inspired game. It's a pretty like ridiculously tight platformer, but dying is not that much of a penalty. You play like a purple girl with claws. Zach's just giving me a look.
I wish this was video because the audio can't pick up any of these expressions.
But a purple girl with claws, that tells you everything you need to know about it.
Right. I mean, are they lobster claws? Are they Skullgirl's claws? Are they?
Okay, that's a good point. No, they're like forks attached to your hands claws. Okay.
So they're like Wolverine claws.
Yeah, actually, except they're not retractable. They're just always there.
Speaking of things you can't retract, Zach, what have you been playing?
Still a lot of League, because, you know, I'm always playing League. I just don't stop.
I was hoping you were going to say that you're playing, like, Steal the League or something like that. I'm like, that sounds awesome. But
No, I haven't been doing that. They're getting, I think next week, they're starting an event.
Oh, Sweet Pirates event, Yar?
Yeah, the Sweet Pirates event, Yar, with the new Gangplank and Miss Fortune, who looks fun. Well, Gangplank looks fun. Miss Fortune looks like she did before. Slight visual update, but no gameplay real things. But I don't play Miss Fortune, so I don't really know.
It doesn't really matter?
No, not really. I mean, I play other AD carries and carry on them. I don't need Miss Fortunes. Still been playing a little bit of Sacred Stones. I'm not going super far because of the fact that I'm generally playing it before bed. Which yeah. Makes it a little bit difficult. I got into a bit of a rough part on a level because it's actually a level where you get four characters.
Yeah.
Which is a lot for Fire Emblem.
Yeah. Wait, a lot?
Well, a lot at once.
I mean, you mean you get four new characters?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. I thought you meant you only get four characters available on the level.
No.
I'm like, That doesn't. That seems like the opposite of a loss.
You get a
sniper.
You can get a sniper, a mercenary, the dancer for that game, and another swordsmaster or swordsman. Myrmidon. That's the one I'm thinking of. But you have to get somebody to talk to the archer, and then the archer will talk can talk to the mercenary, and then the mercenary can talk to the dancer, and then the mercenary then has to talk to the swordman. The
and then
Myrmidon.
You have to go back to Rolf's house to get the chicken.
That actually makes me wonder whether there's like a non-medieval version of Fire Emblem, like the same mechanics.
They were actually talking about doing that for Awakening, is making it more of a modern day setting, but then decided against it because they didn't want to alienate longtime players.
I want a sweet musketeer class, though.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if that's going to be in
I don't think so.
I don't think it is, but
like, I don't actually like steampunk, but I really like revolutionary industrial revolution fantasy, which is steampunk basically is and has kind of replaced because people like it. So steampunk Fire Emblem might be cool. That would give thieves something to turn into that wasn't assassins.
This one, I don't know. I think they turn into tricksters in...
Yeah, that always seems like a cop-out to me.
You're a thief upgraded into chemical worker.
And like, what does Soth become? Like, guy who's cool
I think
now?
He goes from like thief to whisper or something. But the problem with him is he's your Marcus character.
Kind of.
And that... So he doesn't gain any experience early, and then later, since he's a thief, he doesn't do any damage, so he doesn't get any experience later, and they're like, yeah, he promoted, and you're like,
he's your Marcus, great. But he's also a noble, and you have to use him on levels, and that game is problematic. Anyway.
Yeah, there are a lot of problems with that.
And he's just useless in the first Fire Emblem Path of Radiance, because you can't promote, because he's a little kid, he's not going to be an assassin.
And you get him really late in the
game. You get him like midway through. He's the first thief you actually get.
Oh, I know there's that other thief that you can get.
Volk.
Does he
get him later? He starts as an assassin.
Okay.
What does Volk call his mode of transportation?
The Volksmobile?
I was going to say the Volkswagen. But...
Yeah, I know. But I decided to change it up. I flipped the script.
So I'm playing a little bit of that.
He calls it a horse.
Anyway. Although they had an ocean seal, which they didn't have in
Does it turn guys into sweet pirates?
It promotes pirates and thieves.
Okay.
Because clearly thieves are native to the ocean.
Yeah, well, all thieves are pirates, so.
Yeah, arguably. All pirates are thieves, at the very least.
Except for Luffy. He just beats up other pirates.
Doesn't that make him not... Well, I guess he's a pirate of pirates.
But does he take things from those other pirates?
Sometimes, yeah.
So he is a thief. But he's a thief of pirates.
Yeah. He's a meta pirate. He only pirates pirates.
Yeah.
Exactly. But... Yeah, it's still fun. It's still Fire Emblem. I mean, we went over that. We're going to go over most of this again, most likely later.
Swords beat the axes, yo.
I feel as though that's it. I've been playing a lot of League, and I unfortunately don't have any stories from this week.
Well, that's okay. I've been playing a lot. First up, I finished Super Robot Wars J.
Oh, yeah.
The ending was kind of underwhelming. The boss had so many hit points. He merged with the moon, and then he got more hit points.
Oh, I think you were telling me about this on Monday.
So I finished that. It was, you know, it ended like some sort of shonen robot anime. My main character Trolley moved in with his girlfriend and got promoted to civilian.
He got promoted to civilian? Wouldn't that be a demotion?
No, now he can go get a real job, like scientist who builds more mechs.
And my character seems to have no life skills and didn't finish high school, so...
Yeah, it sounds like the only way he's going to be promoted is to a gas station attendant.
Well, maybe he can train other mech pilots or something.
Yeah, maybe.
But that would require him getting a job with the military
again. I also
again.
Never think he was with the military, technically.
What's their justification for having all these, like, random mech pilots to get? Like, is there a temporal paradox or something?
No, it's just a world where all this happened, and they fit some of the things in is kind of great.
So it's not even bothering to explain it. It just
I kind of think it's great. I'm
not disagreeing with
you. I'm very close to uploading to our Dropbox file that says, oh, hey, how did this pre-patched ROM of Super Robot Wars J get here? I finished that. So then I went and also finished Super Mario Brothers Wii U New Extreme. Tyler and I played some of that after we recorded last. But, like, last levels are the best. Also, it finally justified my leaving comments on, because, like, all the commenters are, like, six-year-olds who know swear words but don't want to use them. And so they're, like, trying to get around it creatively. And
how do you creatively get around using a swear word but get to use the swear word?
No, you don't. They just say other words, and their word choice is very amusing. But, like, the last level you're going through, and Baby Bowser is in a mech trying to destroy you. died on it once. So I'm like, oh well. But one of the comments was, Bowser, control your kid.
That's fantastic.
I noticed while we were playing, a lot of them were like, ah, oh, this level is so hard, and we're like playing there, like, this is actually really easy. I don't.
Yeah, it's only like the last two worlds that have hard levels, and they're not even. I was still life positive on most of them.
Yeah, that's one thing about most Mario games, is you tend to accumulate 99 mushrooms, and then you have a Mario Party so you can expend them.
Well, then, like, this one in particular, whenever I was stuck on a level, it was a level with, like, multiple one-ups, or at least one and a bunch of coins. So I, even though I kept dying, I was gaining lives slowly instead of losing them.
That sounds like poor game design, but I can't really say that it actually is poor game design simply because, I mean, at this point...
Having game overs at all is, like, the poor game design.
Well, and like, the penalty is so small.
Yeah.
Like, getting a game over means, oh no, I have to start the level over.
I have to press start again.
I mean, I guess it's cool because, like, getting lives still feels cool. So maybe it's worth it just for that, but...
I do consider it a personal failing if I don't end a Mario game with maximum number of lives, so...
I consider it amazing if I ever finish a Mario game.
Have we done Super Mario World yet?
No, it's next.
So, you could maybe finish that. At minimum, you have to only play 7 levels, so...
Yeah, but, like, you need to... To just play 7 levels, you need to really know what you're doing.
That is true.
Which also implies I have to care.
Yeah.
That's a good one, though. So anyway, I've also...
Is that the one with Yoshi?
Yes, it's the first one with Yoshi. So I've been in a bit of a Metal Gear Solid mood lately. So I was like, man, Metal Gear Solid 5 is coming out in like a month. I could just wait for that.
I forgot about that.
Isn't that already out?
No, it's... I'll get to why you think that in a minute. But no, it's not out yet. I never played Metal Gear Solid 4, and I have this PlayStation 3 sitting right here. I never finished Metal Gear Solid 3, and the Xbox version is supposed to be way better. Oh, I know. I'll buy the $20 prequel to Metal Gear Solid 5 everyone said wasn't worth the money, even knowing this going in. That seems like a good idea.
Were they right?
I want to talk about that. Because okay. Hideo Kojima obviously made the game, because he's Hideo Kojima. He is Mr. Metal Gear Solid. He also made P.T. And the two make a very interesting, like...
juxtaposition to what he's capable of?
Not even that, but I think they're, like, designed to be the same thing. But P.T. obviously was free. And this is $20. This really feels like what it's supposed to be is a preview for Metal Gear Solid. But like not just a trailer, an actual gameplay experience. And then, so the $20 price tag, I really wonder how they got to it. Was Hideo Kojima like, this is a product we should sell so that he would get more budget for his trailer? Whereas Konami like, hey, we will put Metal Gear Solid on it. People will pay money for this.
I suspect probably that one, but
I believe that.
Was it something between? Because it's like got high production values. I see why they thought it was worth money, but it's inherently designed to feel unfulfilling because it's like a trailer. It's supposed to make you think,
hey, I want to finish this
game. I
want
to buy the game.
Yeah, but like everything about it is kind of designed to feel like it's not enough. And so I think like it's almost designed to feel not worth the money, which is
kind of skeezy.
Not even skeezy. It's just weird. Like, because if it was free, that would be absolutely fine. But I wonder if this was $10. Like, they definitely put more than $10 of work into it. It's a full level that's not in the actual game.
The thing is, if making that would sell more copies of the game, then it is worth...
Yeah, as a marketing budget thing.
Exactly.
Which is what the idea behind PT was. And I kind of wonder if this was designed to be a free product or not.
I kind of think it must have been, and Konami said, nope.
We're going to sell it for real money because we can.
Because they're kind of jumping ship anyway, so...
Yeah, but this came out before the big mix-up.
Oh, really?
That they were jumping ship. It might have been in the works already. And also, like, there's a lot of production value here. There's about 30 minutes worth of cutscene, probably.
Oh, wow.
Because, well, it's a Metal Gear Solid game. There's what?
One of them
20
is
minutes
like,
of gameplay and then 30 minutes of trailer?
I played the game for 88 minutes. At the end of the level, it's like, this is how long you spent, and it was 88 minutes. And probably, like I said, about half an hour of cutscenes. Probably 10 to 15 minutes of that is like the, hey, did you not play Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker? Because nobody did. Here's the story of that condensed real quickly. And that's the other weird thing about it, is it's tying up all the loose ends from Peace Walker, a game that was on the PSP, so no one played it, that Hideo Kojima had nothing to do with, so nobody played it, and that it's just weird that they're bothering with it. And also, the story is incredibly bleak.
Instead of just pretending that Peace Walker never existed?
Yeah.
How is the story bleak?
Well, to start off, you're playing as Naked Snake, who is the snake from Metal Gear Solid 3. At post-Metal Gear Solid 3, before he becomes evil for Metal Gear Solid. And, like, your goal is to hide a nuclear weapon from the UN who are coming to your compound to find your nuclear weapon. So already, you know, Naked Snake is cool. So you, like, if you played Metal Gear Solid 3, you want him to succeed. But your goals are the same as, like, Osama bin Laden and all these terrorists. And so starting off, that's kind of eh. So what you're doing is while your, like, second-in-command deals with that, you are infiltrating Guantanamo Bay to rescue two of your child soldiers who have been captured so they can't spill that you have a nuclear bomb. And then one of them is a girl who was raped and had a bomb, two bombs put in her, one in her stomach. And so there's this very, like, effective but also gross scene of the doctor cutting her open to take the bomb out. And she's like, no, Snake, they put another one in where you wouldn't look. And it's like, ugh. And then she dies, and that's how it ends.
And, like, okay.
And Metal Gear Solid is kind of supposed to be, it uses what I call the Trigun effect, just because Trigun is where I saw this used really effectively. TV Tropes must have a better name for it, where you have this, like, ridiculous comic book stuff going on, like giant mechs that shoot nukes. That's kind of weird and funny. And, you know, guys made out of bees who can control bees and attack you so that you don't sort of notice the really dramatic, serious story sneaking up on you. And then it has more impact due to juxtaposition. But this is all the bleak stuff. Your giant nuke shooting mech is on the bottom of the ocean. So the UN can't find it. It never shows up. And this is just the bleak stuff. Also, Kiefer Sutherland is voicing Snake now, which he doesn't sound like Snake. He's way better as far as the dramatic choice goes than David Hayter, but he's not, like, trying to sound like Snake. And it seems like he's probably pretty expensive, because he doesn't have many lines.
Well, I mean, he's off from 24 now, so...
Yeah, and, like, it's not... You don't have, like, any codec conversations except at the beginning.
Or he's just out of rehab, and they have to...
And gameplay-wise, they're taking a bunch of stuff from Call of Duty, and I'm not sure how I feel about that. Wait. You have regenerating health that, you know, you look bloodier the more... You're shot. You only have one pistol and one main weapon.
What, as opposed to, like, the giant rotating inventory?
Yeah, you also have, like, items, and, like, items you can have as many as you want, and grenades. But, like, you can only have two guns, and, like, it's weird that I can't have my tranquilizer for tranquilizing people and my pistol for shooting out cameras. I have to choose. But that's the gameplay itself is really fun and really interesting.
Forcing you to make that choice is actually kind of an interesting one, depending on how
Because you have to choose whether or not you want to be non-lethal.
But it's only one level, so there's no, like, loadout screen or anything. Yeah. It's just, like, beating up guys and then
that's less
taking their stuff. But it seems like there are a lot of options. In particular, since your goal is to leave with these two kids, one of the mechanics is you have different chopper spots that have different heat. And, like, you can call the chopper right on top of the base. But to do that, you have to take out all the AA guns.
Okay.
And you can interrogate guards, and they'll mark stuff on your mini-map when you interrogate them. So you could, like, interrogate a bunch of guards, figure out where all the AA guns are, and then sneak around blowing them up. Or you can just do what I did and have to drag a kid 30 miles from Guantanamo Bay on your back while people are searching for you. And so there seem to be a lot of gameplay choices, which are probably more important. But also they do a kind of cool thing where when someone spots you, it goes slow-mo, and you can react to stop them, and that's a cool little
that
mechanic. Like, and it slow-mo's the, like, Metal Gear Solid zing, like... exclamation mark sound effect. It, like, goes into slow-mo as it's doing that. It goes like, I found it.
Nice. That seems like it's fairly well done on that, because there are a lot of times playing a stealth game in which somebody spots you and the first thing you go is, the hell spotted me? And then you find out it's the guy two feet behind you because you didn't see him coming around a door.
It's very fair about that, and the gameplay is good. Another reason that it kind of feels like it's designed to make you feel like it's not worth the money or it's not complete is when you start, you choose and select level 1, but that's the entire game. All the other levels are, like, bonus objectives and, like, stuff that people say is actually really fun and really makes it worth the money. But when you start, it feels like, okay, so I have, like, two or three levels to go. And then you finish the first level and they're like, yep, see you in September. So I don't know.
Huh.
I, like, every review said, hey, you're either a huge Metal Gear Solid fan and already own this, or it's not worth the money. And I can't disagree with that. But... it does make me kind of excited for Metal Gear Solid 5.
It sounds like it has a lot of interesting gameplay elements, actually. That, like, listening to you talk about it makes me want to play Metal Gear Solid 5. So
listening to him talk about it makes me want to ignore Metal Gear Solid 5. But I was going to do that anyway, so there's not really any difference.
Yeah, I think that's all I've been playing. Besides the assignment, which is Alien Storm.
I mean...
speaking of games we all want to ignore.
Yeah.
Speaking of games worse than Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes.
There are aliens.
There are no storms, though.
Arguably, there are storms. There can be.
There are no ice storms. You can't enlist Aurora Monroe to aid you.
There are no firestorms.
I was going to say that there are firestorms, because that's what your special attack is, but...
Dropping a bomb on something doesn't make it a firestorm.
Anyway, Alien Storm is a beat-em-up for the Sega Genesis. You play as April O'Neil, or a guy with, like, a white laser pack.
Or also a robot. You could be the robot.
And you go around punching things with your flamethrower.
or shooting
cannon.
Or punching things with your machine gun.
Yes.
Depending on which character
that is
choose.
The most effective means of using a flamethrower is punching something in the face with it.
The first thing you notice about this game is that you have a ranged weapon in a beat-em-up, and you're like, yeah, I can shoot guys, and then you can't.
This is going to be a cool side-scrolling shooter, which a lot of those are not bad. But then you never actually get to shoot anything, and gets real old real fast.
Yeah, like, your enemies include, like, goblins and snails that are in trash cans and crabs.
And, like, there's, like, a weird ooze thing, too, I feel.
Like, the enemies are so generic.
There's also a giant thing that's, like, a melting face with, like, a scorpion tail that shoots lightning for some reason.
Also, you have an energy meter. You can use it to call a firestorm, or it slowly drains whenever you punch someone with your flamethrower. And if you run out, you have to punch them with the butt of your flamethrower, and you can't really attack from range enough or fast enough to not die. And so this game has all the problems of beat-em-ups. It's just who presses the button first, there's no real strategy to approaching.
There is, you can do a roll attack, which helps. So if you can roll across the screen to avoid getting surrounded, which is actually nice. That's like the one piece of mobility that this game has that a lot of beat-em-ups don't. And you can attack out of that roll. It's similar to jumping and attacking in most beat-em-ups, but it's not as useful as you want it to be.
It's got that problem of, since there are a lot more of enemies on screen, you're going to get surrounded. You can duck out of it, but since you attack so slowly, if you run out of energy, you're going to be in trouble. You're either going to be rolling across the screen
constantly,
like you're a freaking marble, or you're going to basically try and hold your own and eventually just run out of lives.
Well, just compared to Double Dragon, a game that's very low on our list, you don't have nearly as many attacks. You don't have as nearly as many different types of enemies. You don't have, like, weapon pickups to make things a little more diverse.
I found the music almost as bad.
You aren't, like, kind of leveling up and getting new moves.
You do have the kind of first-person shooter segments to break it up a bit.
We didn't get to that. After each level, you get, like, not a bonus level, it's an actual level, but a level with different mechanics. Most of them are sort of, I want to say Counter-Strike, but it's not Counter-Strike.
Time Crisis.
Most of them are sort of Time Crisis style first-person shooter, like, aim at the bad guy, shoot them. Also, there are a bunch of electronics that aren't harming you, but if you shoot them, you'll get ammo, so shoot them.
And sometimes health.
There's also, like, a racing segment after one of the levels.
That recurs. And
I don't think I got there.
I only remember it once. I got to, like, the last level.
You, like, auto-run, and you, like, shoot an actual gun while you're auto-running, and you, like, it's kind of like a side-scrolling shooter at that point.
I don't know if I got there. I might have. It sounds familiar, but it's also not a super uncommon thing to see, so I...
Like, suddenly you become the Flash, and your gun works as a gun, so...
You suddenly transferred into a slightly better game, and
your person figured out what a safety is and turned it off.
And actually, now that we're describing all these different elements, it, like, actually is kind of like three different game types, but mostly the beat-em-up. And none of them are very good,
and
so...
they don't mix together well, either. Like, Zach
really
kind of
disparate.
Has a criticism of Mega Man, that the boss fights are just, like, a completely different type of play. And I always defend it as being variant play, as being something that's different. But it's the same controls, it's the same mechanics, it sort of flows, it's sort of the stakes change. These are just, like, three different games kind of
smashed.
It's a gear change.
Yeah.
Entirely a gear, like, it's giant.
I mean,
it's
the
like
enemies...
just unhitched your trailer.
The enemies look the same, but you're treating them in a different manner. Someone gave you a gun that works right.
Yeah.
For
well,
one
you
thing.
Interact with the game entirely differently. You don't have melee combos anymore.
Yeah, now you're looking entirely for shooting mechanics, which are pretty bad, let's be honest.
They're
and
like
they don't have, like, the Time Crisis reload or, like, hide mechanics either.
It's just mash.
It's mash the button.
This game actually has a lot of the Genesis checklist problems where, like, it's flashy. It has not great... It's actually got okay hit or feedback, now that I think about it.
Yeah. It is easy to know when you've been hit.
And
it's also
you know when
very
you hit
often.
Enemies, too.
Yeah.
It's just not very satisfying. The game feel is all wrong. It's not kinesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, it doesn't feel momentous when I kill a special, like, even one of the tough enemies. I'm like, okay, well, it just died in the exact same manner.
There's no enemy variety. Again, well, like, go to Mega Man, enemies behave differently. Even if it's just some of them shoot, some of them go up and down. This, like, all the enemies look different, and some of them have different hit points, but you're not like, oh no, it's that one type of enemy that does that thing. Well, they pretty much all walk into you and do
which
damage.
Tends to be my problem with brawlers.
A lot of the enemies, you beat this big one, but you can see on the screen there's a trash can there. There are two trash cans there, and it's like...
And there is never a trash can that isn't a snail.
Well, there's never at least a trash can that appears on screen that at least one of them isn't one of those snails. So it's like, well, yeah. I'm not even done with this screen because I can see that sitting there. So it removes any satisfaction. I beat the big boss enemy. Well, now I've still got more to go. There's not really anything else I can do here.
Well, and you fight bosses the exact same way you fight all the minions, and you fight all the minions the exact same way as any other minion.
And even dropping a bomb on them doesn't feel satisfying. Like, that should feel like, oh, that was really cool. Like, even with,
the animation's really loud.
What is the, what was the game? Where you called the cops.
Streets of Rage.
Yeah, even with Streets of Rage, when you called the cops for their their missile launcher fire support, that felt better as an ability, because it made a big deal of when the cops, you know, the cops roll up, they get out the missile launcher and shoot what you're targeting at. This is just a bomb falls from the sky and blows up the screen.
Which is...
Okay.
Like, it's the blandest possible beat-em-up.
I didn't think you could make dropping a bomb on something look boring.
Oh, you definitely can, don't worry. I don't think I have anything else to say about this game. Avoid it. We haven't said much, but I don't know that there's really much to say.
I don't know.
It's hard
just
to mediocre,
say anything about
lacks
it.
Enemy variety. The sound is
I think it's the worst beat 'em up we've played, honestly. It's so boring.
If it's not,
it reminds me of Cruising USA, to be honest.
It's not the worst game that you can end up with if you got those Genesis handhelds that we all have now.
But there are so many. There are so many better Genesis beat 'em ups.
I know. I'm just saying, like,
Golden Axe is on pretty much anything that has this game.
I'm saying that because it came free with a bunch of other games like Sonic 2 and Sonic and Knuckles makes that thing worth it. That it's not the worst thing in the world that could happen to you. It's I didn't play this game and then immediately resent Tyler for giving me this thing.
to be
but
fair, that
like,
wasn't me. So
it was well, whoever it was, Alex, right?
Yep.
I mean, if
I
you already
you for choosing this game.
Well, okay, that's fair. I resented me for choosing this game. So we're all even. But like, if it's already on there and you're just looking for something to do and you're feeling like a beat 'em up and you already have it, I wouldn't pay any more for it.
Yeah.
It's not the worst thing in the world. It's not Space Harrier. It's better than Space Harrier.
I would argue that Space Harrier is almost out of your or almost worth going out of your way to play simply because it's so bad.
Space Harrier would be a game good to play on Ecstasy.
Yes, it would actually.
Just a guess here, but completely bonked out of your gourd, you'd probably have a lot of fun with that.
So speaking of Space Harrier, we have a list at www.lasttimeonvideogames.com of all the games we've played for the podcast. At the bottom of that list is Space Harrier. It's
big shocker.
It's, in fact, a very, very bad game.
We consider it the worst by consensus, so...
In the middle is Secret of Mana. That game's okay. It's better than Alien Storm.
It's better than... That's true.
At the top is a much, much better game about aliens and storms with girls in it. Super Metroid.
Those are elements.
We're going to add three games to that list. Starting with a game Zach has played the sequel to recently. This week, even. A game we all quite liked, Fire Emblem.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we get to add some good games this time.
Two very good ones and one incredibly mean.
I feel like last week they were all just terrible.
Yeah. I think they were.
All right.
Top 10 at least.
Probably, but we're going to start with the top straight RPG in the list, which I believe is Mario RPG. Are we all in agreement that's better than
Fire
Mario
Emblem.
RPG?
I was just going to say I like it a fair amount more than Mario RPG, which is weird because I feel like Mario RPG is more complicated.
Have you not played any more of it?
No, I still haven't finished it.
You're really close, too.
I know. I'm like two missions away.
No, you're like three or four, but
still.
Mario RPG, I don't think, is more complicated. It just has more modes of play. It has, like, little platforming segments.
Okay, that's true.
Like, exploring elements. There's no exploring in Fire Emblem. It's all story combat. But I think the combat is more complex than
Mario's, because, you know, figuring out that guy's got a lance, so I'm going to send my axe wielder, but hang on, that's a lance reaver, or that's an axe reaver, so I want to use my swordsman.
Well, and even Fire Emblem has, like, a really generic setting and story, but it's so satisfying to watch all the animations, like...
Like, I don't know why.
Oh, yeah,
I
the
find...
graphics are way better.
I actually think it's weird because it's a fantasy setting with very little of the fantasy tropes. There are no fantasy creatures roaming the wilderness.
There are wyverns.
I mean, you have wyverns, you have mages, kind of, and you have magic. Pegasus. It's like,
not,
those
it's like
exist.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Like, Lord of the Rings is like Lord of the Rings has orcs and other species, I guess. But Lord of the Rings doesn't really have.
Well, that's one of the things that this game doesn't, that the Fire Emblem the,
everyone's
don't
human.
Typically have is other races. It's usually human and then maybe one beast type thing, but it's humans are dominant in these. It's very different.
So another RPG we have on here, I forgot about, is Fallout. I think it's way better than Fallout.
I prefer Fire Emblem.
I think I agree. I was going to say, I think I prefer this to Uncharted Waters even. So.
Well, Uncharted Waters is right above it, but I was going to skip over that and compare it to another fantasy game where you control armies, Ogre Battle 64. Again, I think Fire Emblem is much, much better than
I really, really like Ogre Battle 64, but Fire Emblem feels like Ogre Battle 64 on a small scale. If Ogre Battle 64 feels like I'm controlling a regiment. Fire Emblem feels like I'm controlling a company, which I really, really like.
But I feel like Fire Emblem, yes, I agree. I feel like Fire Emblem is more satisfying.
I agree.
It's got a better story. It's got better characters.
I'm not disagreeing with you there.
Your decisions are more important.
If it makes you feel any better, Dan also really likes Ogre Battle, so.
Someone agrees with me!
It's like one of his favorite N64 games, so.
Did he play it when he was a kid, or did he play it because we talked about it?
No, he played it when he was a kid. He actually didn't know that we recorded an episode on it already, so.
Ah, did he, like, recommend it to you when you were talking to him?
Yeah, he's like, you guys should totally play that for the podcast. I'm like, we have, like, almost a year ago now.
So. And here's the link.
Yeah. He actually commented on that episode, too. So.
Yes.
All right, so no more RPG-like games on here. So I'll compare it to the next fantasy game, which was on Game Boy, Game Boy/Game Boy Color, not Game Boy Advance. The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening.
I think I prefer Fire Emblem.
I prefer Fire Emblem, which is...
I even agree. Link's Awakening is
not
pretty uncomplex for a Zelda game. The story is... Actually, I think the story of Link's Awakening might actually be better, but not by a lot. It's got more emotional impact.
It's got kind of a twist at the end.
Yeah, but I still think Fire Emblem goes above it.
I'm just curious, when you're talking about Fire Emblem's story, are you talking about the entirety of it, including Lin's story at the beginning?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I was just curious to know if you were including those, because...
I just don't feel like there's much emotional impact to Fire Emblem's story.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine, but...
Like, Eloy goes finds his dad. His dad, like, there is impact there.
Like I did not care at all when his dad died.
And,
I think it's because you never actually really see his dad he's about to die.
And it's supposed to be, like this big emotional moment is like, Dad, no, I thought you were dead already, and now you're actually dying.
I think that's the problem, is you already think he's dead. Then when you see him for, like, 5 minutes, and then he dies.
The same thing happens in Ninja Gaiden, now that I'm thinking about it.
And, I like shipping so much as a thing, and Fire Emblem has shipping mechanics.
That is true. But,
like, none of them quite work as well as, like, Malin's crush on Link in Link's Awakening, and then she's just a dream, and, like, the fact that Link is silent and maybe contemplative, I think, plays into it. But I don't know why I'm arguing, because I agree, Fire Emblem's a better game. But two up, we have The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past, and I think A Link to the Past is better than Fire Emblem.
That's a really hard choice for me, because I really like both of these games, and I know where Zach's going to fall.
So it's going to fall on you to decide, Tyler, so.
Oh, no. I want to avoid overrating Fire Emblem, because it's also the first one I've ever played, so maybe it had
a... It was the first one I ever played.
It was designed to be the first one you played, too.
My reason for stating that is I feel like it probably had a larger impact on me than I should have let it, because I'm like, man, this is an awesome new game series that I've never encountered before, somehow.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
I've played a lot of the Fire Emblems that have been released in America now. This one is very, very good.
Yeah.
I think there's just more going on in Link to the Past. Like, I can play Link to the Past in, like, a 20-hour block, but I have to, like, I can only play about 2 missions of Fire Emblem in a row before I have to give it up, so.
The only reason I have to do that with Fire Emblem is because usually I make a mistake and somebody dies, so I have to turn off the game.
That
does
kill your enthusiasm for it a little bit.
That's... Something I don't like about Super Robot Wars is never feeling that. Because that's really frustrating, but it's a frustrating I like. So.
No,
it doesn't irritate
me. It gets my dander up, and I want to go back and fix it. I want to make sure that guy doesn't die.
That usually kills my play session, but it keeps me coming back to it. So
now we have to decide if Fire Emblem goes number 7 on the list or number 8. Is it better than Super Mario Bros. 3? A game some people call the best Mario game of all time. I think it is, personally.
Because I
don't think Super Mario Bros. 3 is the best Mario game.
It's
a really good one, though.
I like Super Mario Bros. 3. I mean, it's, I think, the only Mario Bros. Game that, so far, I've played that I really enjoyed. But
I really like Fire Emblem. They did a really good job.
I really like this Fire Emblem game.
Okay, so it goes at lucky number 7.
So Fire Emblem is another one of those franchises that apparently this podcast really likes, with the exception of the Wii one.
I haven't played it, though, so I don't know if it's terrible.
And the DS ones aren't great either. The 3DS one is amazing, but the...
Which one are the ones on the
Shadow DS? Dragon Shadow and the Dragon one that never came out in the States that I can't remember the name of.
Shadow Dragon's like a revamp of the first one, though, right?
Yeah. But that's where they invented the change class mechanics, but they didn't have skills in it, so there wasn't...
Like incentive?
Oh, really? Where you had the slide class?
Yeah.
Okay.
They also introduced, like, creating your own protagonist. Oh, no, actually, that was the second one. Never mind.
Which means slide classing is not particularly useful.
No, it just, like, lets you change classes you can have any class you want, and that, like, loses unit identity.
Although it does give you... Well, I was going to say Awakening does it, too, but Awakening has a limited number of units that each unit can actually turn... Can actually slide class, too.
The Final Fantasy problem, where, like, a lot of Final Fantasies, all the characters can occupy any role.
Is that a problem, though?
Yeah, but I prefer it makes them lose a lot of their individuality for me. So you just pick the one with, like, the costume you like the most. Whereas, as you keep pointing out with 10, like, everyone has a specific role they fill, and I think I like that a lot more.
Yeah, Kamari's role in 10 is actually the fact that he is the jack of all trades.
Which is why I never use him, because there's always someone better for the task.
That's the problem with the jack of all trades. They're the jack of all trades.
But he also gets the unique monster abilities, which actually can make him really useful in some cases. But
you just have to have him in your party to actually go and soak the ability
again. Yeah. But Blitzball.
Yeah, Blitzball's pretty good. All right, next, probably the worst game we're gonna rate tonight: Zanek. Okay, over-the-top shooter. The real problem is we played it right after
Star Soldier.
Yeah.
I liked it better than Star Soldier, though.
So did I, and I'm looking for where Star Soldier is on the list.
It's a vertical scrolling shooter, and they're like 12...
They had different types of weapons, and they were numbered.
You pick up like 12 different types of secondary weapon.
But most of them...
They're all variations of an
really,
energy ball.
It's really, really indistinctive, so I'm having trouble.
Is this the one that had the girders and stuff in the way?
No, it's the one we played
right Soldier.
After
Star Soldier. This is what, we played this game the week after, and I regret calling it right after.
2 weeks
that.
After. We played Fire Emblem in between, but yeah.
Clearly, this game left an impact on me.
The first level is kind of like puke pink colored.
All right. Do we think it's better than Asteroids?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't remember it, so I'd have to go with Asteroids purely because I can remember Asteroids.
I'm tempted to say Asteroids is better, but Tyler has a lot more conviction than I do on it, so I'll go with him.
I mean, usually when I'm doing this, it's a comedy thing where I try to pretend like I try to remember.
This game is really... It's not a bad game, it's just really indistinctive. Do we think it's better than Galaga? Because...
I really like Galaga.
I don't, okay.
I remember a couple of weeks ago I did it with Bonk's Adventure, but I actually did take me a minute to remember what Bonk's Adventure was. But I honestly, I'm trying to remember this game, and I just can't. God.
So dead in the middle between those two is... Sonic the Hedgehog. Do we think it's better than Sonic the Hedgehog? I don't.
No. I'm not a huge fan of the first Sonic, but I don't think this game is anywhere near as good as it.
So in the middle of those is XCOM UFO Defense. Do you think it's better than...
No. XCOM at least has a game I could learn to like.
So again, the middle there is ActRaiser. Do we think it's better than ActRaiser? Because I don't.
No, I don't think it's better than ActRaiser, so...
Do we think it's better than Mario Kart?
I arguably enjoyed this game more than I Bleed Simulator, but...
Mario Kart has a legacy.
Yeah.
They made better games after it.
And it's not terrible. It's just not, like, neither of these games is great. They're both on the low end of mediocre.
Yeah. So above Asteroids, below Super Mario Kart?
Yeah, I'll give it that.
Okay, last. The first game we played after we started this list, genuine contender for top of the list, Chrono Trigger.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
Do we have a new prom queen?
I like it more than Super Metroid, so...
Well, let's not start there. let's let the fans anticipate. Let them anticipate.
I could be, outvoted at some point, so...
Well, let's start at Fallout. Do we think it's better than Fallout? Because I think it's way better than Fallout.
Almost definitely. It's got a more engaging story. It's colorful. The music is fantastic.
Okay, so let's slide up to the game we just ranked, Fire Emblem. Do we think it's better than Fire Emblem?
I liked Chrono Trigger, but I really like Fire Emblem.
I like Chrono Trigger more than Fire Emblem, because I find the story engaging in Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, the story is more engaging, I think. I think the music is better. The gameplay, it's hard to compare them, because honestly, I like both a lot, and I think I could take either. But so that's kind of a wash.
For me, it's
completely down to the fact that I really like Fire Emblem's combat mechanics. I don't particularly care for Chrono Trigger's combat mechanics, even though they're really good. I prefer to play Fire Emblem.
They were better than...
Saying I prefer or I don't care for Chrono Trigger's is too harsh. It's that I would prefer Fire Emblem's combat mechanics.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'll take either. Although Fire Emblem is a lot more in-depth.
I keep wanting to move them in Chrono Trigger. I want to move my people around the battlefield.
Yeah, and that's actually one of the things that I feel like it's lacking, because you can wait for your enemies to position themselves, but you can't move yourself to be in a better position, which is really, like...
It's weird.
It feels like you should. Although, the same team actually went on to make Star Ocean, which you can move around and do that stuff, so... Clearly they had the idea.
So above Fire Emblem is Link to the Past. Do we think it's better than A Link to the Past? I think the story is better.
It
is kind of, you have more worlds to explore, kind of. Legend of Zelda has the Dark World and the Main World. This has multiple different timelines.
Although arguably each dungeon in Zelda is better designed than the dungeons in Chrono Trigger, but I would still have to give it to Chrono Trigger.
Okay. Do we think it's better than Mega Man X?
Oof.
I actually had some fun with Mega Man X.
I really like Mega Man X, but I also really like Chrono Trigger.
But I like Chrono Trigger a lot, and I like RPGs.
The story of Chrono Trigger is certainly better. The art is almost a wash to me. I really like the art of Mega Man X. I really like the art of Chrono Trigger.
Arguably, the gameplay of X is better.
But... Yes. The music in Chrono Trigger, I think, is a little better, but I like the music in X.
You have to remember one of the reasons. X is a platform action game, whereas Chrono Trigger is more of a slow-build RPG game.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be, right? I mean, I agree with what you're saying, but which one of those is better?
Yeah, well, and which one is a better implemented iteration of its genre, maybe?
I don't like JRPGs, so...
Yeah.
Fair.
But you also don't like platform action games.
True. I'd say... I'm going to declare Chrono Trigger, then, because I like RPGs more than I like platformers.
I mean, I'd have to... For the purely artistic elements, I'd have to give it to Chrono Trigger.
Okay. Okay, so then Chrono Trigger goes above. Next, we have Doom. Another game with really good music.
Doom, da, doom, 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 doom.
Better gameplay, but I think the art in Doom is not artless, but like I don't want to say Doom is artless because I don't really believe that, but it's really, really pop arty in a way that I think Chrono Trigger isn't. And
now this one's tough for me. I got to say, it's not actually that tough. Doom. Okay. I prefer
Doom. I'm surprised.
All right, so Chrono Trigger or Doom, Tyler?
I have a really hard time. I mean, arguably, Doom was more influential than Chrono Trigger.
Arguably. Some people would say that Chrono Trigger is the game that killed JRPGs. And that doesn't make it bad.
What would it have killed
JRPGs? What's a better JRPG they made after Chrono Trigger? Final Fantasy VII?
After Chrono Trigger?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
10?
I argue that Final Fantasy VII is the game that killed them.
Yeah,
but...
most people agree with that. And most people think Final Fantasy VII is great. It's like Watchmen is the comic that killed comics. Watchmen's great, but...
Nothing could live up to the legacy.
It's not even that. It's people who are like, oh, wow, Watchmen's good. We should just make our comics bleak as hell and have everyone die and have rape in them. That's what made Watchmen good, right? And just like people trying to copy Final Fantasy VII are like, we should have spiky hair and giant swords and emos. That's what made Final Fantasy VII great, right?
Arguably, Final Fantasy VII was not a great game, but it was really popular.
I wouldn't know. I've never actually played Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, you will!
But the question, Tyler... remains. Is Chrono Trigger better than Doom?
I have a hard time deciding on that one.
And yet you are the deciding vote.
Yeah, I think I'd have to give it to Chrono Trigger.
All right.
Traitor.
Next up is the original Castlevania, and I said Chrono Trigger is better than Doom, so I have to agree it's better than Castlevania.
I thought Doom was better than Castlevania, so...
All right, then we have a game with RPG elements, Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Also a really good game.
Yep, the story of Chrono Trigger is a little better. The exploring elements are better in Castlevania, though. And I think the gameplay is better, too.
The imagery of Chrono Trigger 6 would be a lot more, but I think that's probably just the color palette.
Yeah, no, so. I think the art is better in, and the graphics, I would say, are better in Chrono Trigger, and they're a console generation behind.
That's actually fairly impressive. There are so many more distinctive elements in Chrono Trigger, although replaying it, a lot of them are less distinctive than they used to be, so.
I don't like the Castlevania franchise.
So I'm going to say Castlevania's better. Tyler?
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to differ on that, although I now have to defend that point, so...
Technically, you've got a majority.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I feel like you already kind of said your piece on it. That's why I went to straight up saying. All right, so you said it's better than Super Metroid.
I like Chrono Trigger better than Super Metroid, only barely, but...
And I know Zach's going to agree with you.
I had technical problems with Super Metroid and haven't actually gotten around to going back. I think it's still in my, I think I still have it saved on my Wii. I can always go back and check. But
I prefer Metroid Fusion to Super Metroid for a similar experience, so.
All right, Chrono Trigger's the new prom queen.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
It's very good. Marley definitely deserves the title.
Marley's a princess, so she can be the prom princess.
Yay.
And Chrono can have a pretty tiara.
Yay. You can make it out of the rainbow shell.
Wouldn't that go to Marley?
Hmm?
You're going to give...
Zach, it's 2015. Be progressive.
He's got whatever. All that here. He has to have something to hold it up.
Cloud is more of the cross-dresser than Chrono, I guess.
That is true. He can have a prism dress.
All right, whatever. Who's up next? Is it
Jeremy?
Jeremy, what are we playing next?
Well, speaking of prison, I'm continuing to go through the games that we've skipped in franchises.
Oh, God. What are you going to throw at us?
So I
Baseball 2?
I was actually tempted to say Balloon Fight in memoriam of Satoru Iwata, but Balloon Fight isn't a great game.
Earthbound.
Earthbound would be good, too. But
so you've actually given us a good game?
To it. No, but that, no. And so I was going to give you the choice between Super Mario Land and the Sonics, but then I realized, oh wait, no, Super Mario Land, it was released like a year after the Mario games we played. We're fine. So we're going to play the Sonic the Hedgehog games on the Master System.
Oh God.
Sonic Please. 2, and if you have the time, also Sonic 1 on the Master System.
Do we have
I like
to?
The way that was phrased.
You already played it, Zach. This should be easy for you.
That's why I know I don't want to go back and do it again.
Like, my next one's going to be like Metal Marines, and then Tyler and I have played that, and we have to continue to suffer. But for now,
but you guys aren't
last
me.
Time, gotta go
assed. Gotta go assed.
Gotta go assed.
Oh God.
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2015. All the games, movies, and other media I mentioned in the show are copyright their respective owners. In case that wasn't obvious. Past episodes, articles, and other information can be found at www.lasttimeonvideogames.com. If you'd like to contact us, send an email to ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. If you'd like to find us on Twitter, we are @ltovg. We can also be found on iTunes. If you wanted to help us out, we would really appreciate if you left us a 5-star review. No extra lies were lost in the recording of this podcast.
I got a question for both of you.
You can't
first.
Retract this statement.
No,
I can because I'm the editor.
Well, yeah,
no, you can't.